Amen, 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 amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sister Morrison, for that excellent selection. Grateful, grateful. Just think. We ought to be grateful today. We ought to be in a spirit of thanksgiving today. Yes, we cannot do what we usually do. We cannot go where we usually go. We can't not celebrate the way we usually celebrate, but you know what? We can still be grateful, amen? So I just pray that we are grateful on this season and grateful in spite of our restrictions that we are under as we seek to protect all. And I just pray that we will find reason to be thankful and grateful. You know, no, we're not comfortable going places that we normally would go, do things that we would normally do, but yes, we can still be grateful. And speaking of grateful, we're going to continue with our series from David in 2 Samuel chapter 22, where he expressed his gratefulness to God. And he gave God all the glory for the success he had. You know, as I said last week, that David is writing this in the latter years of his life, looking back over his life and all that God has allowed him to do. And he has just been so thankful for God to allow him to be who he was. And he gives all the credit to God. And I think that when we look back over our lives, I'm sure that we're in a position to say that we are grateful for what God has done for us and has brought us to where we are right now. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just allowing us to be grateful, giving us a reason to be grateful, Father. Father, I pray that as I share this word, Lord, that you'll free our hearts and minds of concerns outside of worship and just pay attention to what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Grateful. Grateful. Now, as we're in 2 Samuel chapter 22, and allow me to read a few verses from this chapter, starting at the 41st verse. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the streets, and I spread them out. You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people. You have kept me as the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. The foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The topic today is thank you, Lord, for being my support. As we started out this series, the first message was thank you, Lord, for being my strength. The second one was thank you, Lord, for being my shield. And today we thank the Lord for being our support, as David did. As we look at this, as David is recounting how God has blessed him during countless military campaigns, how God has blessed him in subduing his enemies. He's just thanking the Lord for being my support. And he's talking about how he had his enemies and he had defeated his enemy. And he talks about in the 42nd verse that they looked, but there was none to save them. My enemies, they who thought they were so strong, they looked around, but there was nobody to save them. And the reason they had nobody to save them is because they had nobody who could compete against God. That was the essence of what David is saying. They looked around, but there was none to save them, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. You know, at times when people are at this their last resort, they will look to our God for support. And that's what he's saying is they looked around to their gods, they looked around to their resources, but they could not find a reason or a way to be delivered from David's army. And they even came to the point where they cried out to the Lord God of the Hebrew nation, but he did not answer them. And in the 43rd verse, he said, "Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the streets and I spread them out." And to us, this seems kind of vicious. You know, you look at this and say, David, you did this. But, you know, every now and then we just need to shake the dust off our feet. We just need to shake the devil off. We just need to get away. You know, whatever's coming against us, just get away from it. Lord, help me get away from this and let me make it disappear from my life. But look at verse 44. He said, "You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people." As I look at this, the first thing I think about, wait a minute, David, you've been talking about how God has allowed you to be this mighty warrior. But then you say, "Lord, you have supported me when my own people came up against me." You know, not everybody who is our enemy, not everybody who comes up against us will come from without or outside. You know, there will be enemies inside our families. There will be enemies that will show up there, they will show their ugly head at the opportune times, and you will see them for who they are. "You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people, my very own people. You have delivered me." You know, there are several instances we see in scripture where David had to fight his own family. His very own son, Absalom, you know, had an uprising against David. He, I believe 2 Samuel 14 says he was a handsome young man and people favored him. And he thought that he would make a better king than his father. He thought that he would make a better king than his father. And he came up against his father. He even challenged the army to follow him in rebellion against his father. But yet he was defeated. Also, not all was well with the other tribes of the children of Israel. You know, whenever we are successful, there's going to be somebody who's not going to be happy. There's going to be somebody who says that I need a piece of this, you're not all of that, and maybe that we need some of this success too. There was a Benjamite, you know, the tribe of Benjamin. There was a man who was a part of the tribe of Benjamin named Sheba. And, you know, he thought that he could have a piece of the kingdom. And he came up against David also, and that was squashed. So see what David is saying is that even when family members, even when close relationships, even with people I thought I knew came against me, Lord, it was not me, but it was you who guided me. It was you who guided me how to squash things, how to do things the right way, how to defeat the enemy. So how does this relate to us, my brothers and sisters, is that we just need to, when enemy comes against us, we just need to be prepared, whether it's from without or within, we need to be prepared. And in my experience, sometimes I see the ugliness come out of people, especially when a loved one passes away and the survivors who come, you know, the siblings who come, and things start to get ugly and they need to get legal representation because they cannot agree with one another of how to handle the assets, how to handle the estate and other things like that. And you will see the ugliness come out of people. But there are times that we just need to let the Lord take care of it. You know, Lord, you fight this battle for me. You know, I can't fight this battle. I need you to fight this battle. I need you to guide me in what to do. I need you, because if I do it my way, it will get ugly. If I do it my way, I'm going to disappoint you and I'm going to disappoint myself. But Lord, you help me to fight this battle. So again, in the 44th verse of 2 Samuel 22, you have also delivered me from the strivings of my people. You have kept me as the head of nations. In spite of the opposition that came against me, you still kept me as the head. It was not my doing, but it was you, O Lord. A people I have not known shall serve me. So all these successful military campaigns that David had, and you could read more about it in 2 Samuel chapter 8, but you can see that he had successful campaigns against the Moabites, the Edomites, the Ammonites, and you know, he just had all these enemies came against him, and he was successful against all of his enemies because the Lord was on his side. And in verse 45, it says, the foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. And again, he's thanking God for this. This is not his doing. The foreigners submit to me. What he's saying is that as soon as my enemy hear about what God has allowed David to do, you know, as soon as they hear, they obey. David's reputation strikes terror in the enemy, and they lose heart for the battle. You know, this kind of reminds me of Joshua. Y'all know when Joshua sent out in Joshua chapter 2, when he sent out the two spies to go to Jericho. He sent them to Jericho because the children of Israel were going to occupy the promised land, the land that God has given them. But Jericho was in the way. So he sent two spies to Jericho to scope it out, you know, the layout of the city, bring us back a report of how Jericho is. And there was a young prostitute named Rahab who hid the spies because the king of Jericho was looking for the Israelites. And the king of Jericho knew that the spies were in their midst. But I want to take us to Joshua chapter 2, starting at the 9th verse where Rahab, who has hid the spies, and here's what she says to the spies, the two spies. She says, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath. You see, when people hear that we follow Jesus, they know they can't come at us in conventional ways, for they know that if we depend on the Lord to fight our battles, they know that they can't frustrate us. They know that they can't defeat us. So they will lose heart. They will acknowledge. And again, as we go back to 2 Samuel 22:45, where Samuel says, the foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. As soon as they hear, Lord, how good you have blessed me in my life. As soon as they hear how I have been able to lead armies against all odds, but yet we still are not defeated. As soon as they hear, they have to acknowledge that the Lord on my side is what makes the difference, is what makes the difference. The question is, are you walking a lifestyle where people can see that the Lord is on your side? As you have fought the battles that you have fought, have you given glory to God? Have you given credit to God? And as interesting as you see this, there's this illustration of what David is talking about, his thankfulness of what the Lord has allowed him to do, but it's also an acknowledgement of what's to come once Jesus sets up his kingdom in the future. All will bow down to him. All will recognize him as king. Revelation 21, verse 24 even says this, and it says, "And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." So therefore, those of us who are saved will walk in the light of Jesus, walk in the light of the Lord. Allow that light to shine so others might know that it is not us, but it is the Lord. Going back to 2 Samuel 22, verse 46, "The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts." The foreigners, because of the reputation of the Lord and what the Lord has done for David, they fade away. They come out of their hideouts. They don't even try to hide anymore. They just come and submit to King David. I have a question. How many times do we fail to give God the credit for our victories? We have victories in our lives, and we have accomplishments that we complete. And sometimes we like to stick our chest out and say, "I did this." But do we give God the credit, the appropriate credit, for what he has done for us and what he has allowed us to do and what he has allowed us to have? You know, sometimes I look in my backyard and I planted several trees years ago, and I look at their growth and I look at the shade that they provide, and I think, you did a good job. But in reality, guess what? All I did was select the trees, and all I did was plant the trees. You know, I had no control over the growth cycle. I had no control on how much moisture they got. I had no control what kind of climate they grew in. But that's the Lord's work. I had no control when a late frost in the spring killed off some buds. You know, I couldn't prevent that. That stunted the growth that spring. I had no control. So yes, I may have planted, but God did the rest. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, he even warned the church in Corinth he warned them to be careful about ranking the teachers, the clergy, the disciples who were teaching them. And in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, Paul illustrates this by saying, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." That passage says, because at that time in the Corinthian church, they were looking at different leaders, and they were glorifying certain leaders and teachers and saying one's better than the other. But what Paul is correcting them is saying, look, we might have done this, but it is the Lord who has given the increase. And see, that's what David is saying in these last words later in life. He is looking back over his life, and he has said, "Yes, I defeated the enemy. They see me as the one who defeated them, but Lord, you gave me the battle plan. You gave me the playbook. You let me know when to fight, when not to fight. You let me know how to select the places to fight. You let me know this. You gave me the instructions of how to rule my people, because I came to you, Lord, and I listened to you. I was not like my predecessor, Saul, who took matters into his own hands and lost the favor of the Lord. But Lord, I tried to follow you all my life. No, I'm not perfect, But yet I tried to follow you. And when people praise me, I try to give them, say, give them the fact that you did it for me. It was not me, but it is you, Lord. It is you. And that's something I really love about David. And maybe that's the reason why he was a man after God's own heart, because he gave God the credit in everything he did. And you know what? It's reminding me of a song that we sing sometime. There's something in the something about that name. You know, there's something about the name of Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. When we invoke that name, the Lord takes over. Enemies know where we're coming from, that we're coming from a different perspective. We're not coming from our own perspective. When we say in the name of Jesus, and I think of Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, where Paul even says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In the name of Jesus, in the midst of what we are going through in this pandemic, are we invoking the name of Jesus upon the obstacles that are in our ways? Are we invoking the name of Jesus as we go through our daily lives and face the challenges of our lives? Are we in a position to look back over our lives years from now, or even now look back over our life and say, God, if it wasn't for you on my side, I would not be where I am. Yes, they told me that I was very smart. Yes, they told me I was very clever. Yet they told me I had good leadership potential. Yes, they told me all that. But yet, Lord, it is you who has done this, because there are others who are just as smart. There are others who are just as clever. There are others who are just as strong. But Lord, you have chosen me to do certain things that you have not chosen other people to do. So therefore, David is saying, I am thankful. I am so thankful for you being my support. Can we think of the Lord as our support? You know, there are times naturally when we go to the Lord. And the most prominent one is when we are facing an obstacle and we are facing a challenge in our lives. We go to the Lord. Even those who are not saved, but grew up around folks in the church, know that there is something different about the Lord. To some, going to the Lord is the first option. To others, it's the last resort. My prayer is that we can be like David and keep the Lord with us all the time, through good times and bad times. Or as Al Green would say, good and bad are happy are sad. Can we keep the Lord in our lives, keep him on our lip, and be quick to let others know that it is not us, but the Lord. The Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being my support. And God willing, we will close out this series next Sunday, we'll thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. So stay tuned and stay prepared. And remember to thank the Lord for all that he has done for us. God bless you. And we pray that this message has been informative and inspiring. And I pray that you will continue to seek the scriptures for yourself and allow the Lord to grow you and develop your faith in a deeper way. Amen.